Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. All right, today we're going to continue talking about karma. Yesterday we talked about the different types of karma. Today I'm going to help you absolve your karma and make a peace with yourself and become more centered with your life. And this topic is part two, called Working Through Karma, or what to do when you just can't resist getting involved and confronting karmic relationships, and how to get through them without it getting crazy, scary, or compounding the energy to be any more negative than it already is. So working through your karma is the key to today's show. And we're also going to go over karmic transits and when you should be aware that karma can be triggered in your life. If you don't know what karma is a vibration that exists in this universe. If you don't believe or have never been able to figure out God, then I think understanding the law of karma, which is a law of positive and negative energy, would probably be a close definition of it. It has a lot to do with energy that goes out of our bodies and radiates beyond our souls and comes back to the body and the soul, depending what lifetime we're in. So it is a direct energy effect that occurs almost like the waves as they slap up to the beach. Water goes out and the water comes in. A couple things I wanted to mention. I'm a little concerned about President Bush's chart because we do have Vice President Quayle as second in command. I will recall the period in John F. Kennedy's life prior to his assassination where he was known as a very active president, or one who took a lot of moves, made a lot of actions, and rattled a lot of cages and created a lot of enemies. President Bush is doing the same thing. He's a Scorpio rising, and he's not really the type of person to take a submissive role. And unlike Reagan, Bush is actually doing something about this planet. Unfortunately, whenever anyone tries to do anything about anything, they set themselves up to be martyred. And I am a little concerned about President Bush's chart right now in the next 3 months, frankly. And, of course, you don't hear this stuff on any other type radio or television, but I'm letting you, my listeners, know that I am concerned, and I would hope that the president's security would be beefed up, because when you do declare a war against anyone, you are establishing and signifying an enemy, and that makes you an enemy to somebody else. So I'd have to say that President Bush's security is a little vulnerable right now, and astrologically speaking, that is sustained. That is confirmed. Okay. That's not something you're going to hear every day in the radio, because I like whoever is president of the United States. God bless him. It's a tough responsibility, and definitely it takes guts to make choices to change this planet. So I give him that. You know, I definitely salute him for taking a shot at trying to end this drug curse on this planet, or at least trying to do something about it. All right, let's take a look at working through karma. First of all, I loved yesterday's topic. I hope you enjoyed it. We talked about the different types of karma, or identifying roles that you might play with people that you are close to. And I talked about how when you share exact numbers with other people, that you can identify them as somebody who would catalyze your own growth, or someone you would be magnetized towards. Now, why is that? You want to know why that is? I'll tell you why. Because the numbers 1 through 30 are so magical in astrology, actually 1 through 29, that whenever we do find someone that has a number that is the same as ours, no matter what sign it's in, doesn't matter. If you're a 7 Leo and you meet someone that has a 7 Taurus sun or a 7 Pisces sun, you know, quinks that 7 Leo or oppose it, then there's going to be some kind of electrical trigger that goes on between the two of you. Now, you want to know why that is? It's because there is something about the numbers in astrology, the number degrees in astrology, that offers a mirror of our own self. Okay? And oftentimes, whether we like ourselves or not, we seem to be attracted to like quantities, our two vibrations that match, okay? And that's why the numbers, especially in numerology, are so powerful that for me to have a 17 Scorpio moon and to be instantly magnetized to anyone with 17 anywhere in their chart, and remembering that each degree, okay, if it's like a 17 degrees, then it has a relationship with 17 of every other sign. Did you know that? I want to make sure you know that. Because, for example, a 17-degree Scorpio would sextile, okay? I'm sorry, it would semi-sextile anything at 17 Libra or 17 Sag. It would sextile anything at 17 Virgo or 17 Capricorn. It would square anything at 17 Leo or 17 Aquarius. And it would trine anything at 17 Cancer or 17 Pisces. And it would inconjunct anything at 17 Gemini or 17 Aries. And then it would opposition anything at 17 Taurus. See, so knowing a number in your chart and being aware that that number has a relationship, of course it would conjunct anything at 17 Scorpio, but I just want to make it clear that having a number in your chart at 17 and meeting someone else that has another 17 in their chart, you know you have an exact astrological aspect between the two charts, and that is karma. That is what we call a karma. Now, of course, you are going to meet people that don't have any numbers in your chart at all, and you will have karma with them also. Now, that's possible. It's just, in astrology, we actually use this little formula to prove or verify or validate for sure that there is a mirror involved, a catalyst involved here, and a stimulus involved that is bringing down a growth situation, a learning situation that we are meant to embrace, understand, absorb, absolve, and usually let go of or process without taking too personal. The problem that we have concerning this energy of karma is always related to the spirit, because in my definition of karma is anything beyond the spirit, which means that when we are within the shelter of our own spiritual graces, of the center of our own spiritual realms, we are okay. It is when we reach beyond the spirit and place priority on anything beyond the spirit where the price tag is placed on it, and that's where the karma comes around. Karma, in my opinion, is the price you pay to play in this dimension, because this dimension is a non-spiritual realm, because the third dimension is a material realm. To play here, you have to pay. If you want to play, you got to pay, and that's where karma comes in. That's the price tag. Okay? Now, also, when you are playing around down here, you know, there's several types of karma, of course, we discuss all the time, but all karma lies in the heart, in the soul, within the individual, okay? So how you treat yourself and what you put in your body, you know, it's like oftentimes we will look at individuals and say how wonderful they were to other people in the world, okay, and how they were to their, perhaps their friends and their loved ones and their lovers and their families and such. But if they don't take care of themselves, you know, if they pour poison in their own temples, it's almost like they are nicer to the rest of the people than they are to themselves. And that's why you'll see some of these people that are the most wonderful people in the world that have very toxic lifestyles. And then the karma of that lifestyle of not showing respect to the temple of the soul, to the human body, is something we have to pay for later on in life when it comes time for us to leave this dimension and pass on. Okay? So how you treat yourself is not karma, number one. And number two, the energy that you will receive on a reflection from the world, others that come to you, is another karma that's involved, how you treat others, okay? And so that's karma number two. Okay, now, interesting part of today's show, which is almost like a part two to yesterday's show, is I discussed what can you do when you know you have karma with someone. Well, and point number one is, well, you can try to make it with them and either marry them or decide to be friends or make that commitment to have some kind of relationship. Number two, you can break it off completely, say goodbye, make a peace, and part company. And number three, you can, instead of being so extreme in the middle, you can make them an acquaintance, or at least somebody that you can say hello to, and it just isn't an intense relationship anymore. You just decide that that part is over, if you can do that. But the problem here is that when we identify that, number one, we do definitely have karma going on inside of ourselves, and another person is helping us catalyze this payment, this price, because we are once again obsessed. See, here's the price tag where it comes in. We get obsessed with an individual, with an organization, with a career, with a motivation, something where the price tag of having to pay for that comes in. Okay? And usually, like I say, we identify these karmic experiences by looking at someone else's chart and seeing if they have any of our numbers. Now, if someone has one of our numbers, then, well, that's karmic, for sure. If someone has two or three, then we're talking major league. You know, more than four numbers doesn't mean you have to get involved with the individual, because sometimes the karma is so thick that three or four exact numbers and you actually back away from the person. But I do find that it is definitely hard to resist when you meet someone that has your numbers, same sign, same degree. Okay, so occasionally you will meet that person that might, see, like if I meet people with Leo 18, Libra 20, Scorpio 17, Cancer 5, and they have all my numbers, same sign, same degree. Wow, that's like, it is so significant. You know, I am not teaching this topic for you to back away or run away from your karma. That's not what life is all about, folks. You know, we came here to pay the ticket. You know, we came here to take care of the bill. And if you find out you have a karma with someone, the worst thing you can do is run. But you know, that's always the first thing we do. That's the whole point of today and yesterday's show. I want to tell you something. I've lived my life, I've had a wonderful time, and wow, I'm so glad I understand karma. I really am. I might not understand God as much as I'd like to, but I do understand karma. And I have understood it enough to know that if you have a karmic relationship with someone, and you have exact numbers to boot, and you're going through a karmic transit, and you know what that means? A karmic transit means that there's a planet in the sky, in the daily report that I give you on the air every day at 12 noon, that actually triggers one of your exact numbers. And that actually sets off the numbers in the chart of the person that you share this karma with. Okay? And that's what sets up the intense vibration between two people that is a reflection of what must be learned. Isn't that neat? So when you get a transit forecast and we tell you you might be having a rough day with relationships or with career or with family or children or with a friend, then that helps you identify your cycle of karma in your life. And then if you know you're having a hard time with that person, well, what do people do? Let's see what people do. When people are confronted with their karma, let's see some of the options of their choices. Well, number one, a lot of them will go to the bottle and just pour themselves a drink. You know, same thing as running out of the room and running down the street. They're not sitting down and being clear with the individual. They're just jumping into the bottle. Number two, a lot of people smoke. They pick up cigarettes, whether it's pot or tobacco, and they suck it in. They go for the nicotine and the marijuana or the tar, whatever, to try and help buffer it or sedate it or whatever. A lot of people will shut down emotionally. They'll just turn off. They'll become a brick wall and they're impenetrable and incommunicado. And you know, some people will just plain run away, out the door, walk away, pack up, get dressed, walk out, leave, whatever. You know, now do any of these options sound like a way to experience growth and to work out your problems in this mission called your life and to be at peace? No, they are exactly not. And a person that has a cycle or a pattern of running away from people and situations, whether it's through drug addiction, alcoholism, hey, I'll tell you what, I have this little habit, excuse me, that I do, or that I have also done, that I sugar's my high often. And if I'm having a hard time or if someone's giving me a hard time, I'll try to eat something sweet or drink something sweet to try to buffer or sedate me. And sugar's a drug. Food's a drug, you know. And a lot of people will escape and run away by eating. Same way. Okay? So there's all different kinds of ways to bail out of your karma instead of confronting it. You know, but the whole purpose of my existence in many ways as far as teaching people about these laws, these universal laws and things that I try to study and understand, is to let them know that, okay, so you married somebody you've got karma with. Okay, so you're in a relationship with somebody you got karma with. And okay, so you've had a child or your parents are someone that you know you have a karma with. Stop running away. You know, this karma is not going to go away until the bill is paid. That's the whole purpose of this topic. The karma is not going to go until you assume responsibility for it. And that means, and I'll tell you what, you know, the television set and the radio are, and the phone are just as much a drug and just as much an addiction and just as much an escape route. Can you believe what people do when you try to work things out with them? When one person wants to try to work things out because they're spiritual enough to understand what karma is all about, the other person either turns the TV on, runs to the phone, jumps in the car, goes get something to eat, lights a cigarette, gets a drink, smokes a joint, snorts some coke, whatever, runs down the street, just packs up and leaves. Things might be a lot different if you would just find a space, center the both of yourselves, turn all the distractions off, get the kids out of the room or whatever, and discuss it. You know, and I have found that by sitting down in a very mild-tempered manner, by sitting down and discussing what's inside, that the issues from past lives that began this ticket and the issues from current lives that created this bill do eventually and finally come up. And that's how we process stress, and that's how we process anger and hate and, you know, stuff that we have not put our finger on, because sometimes we get mad at people and upset with them and uncomfortable with them. We don't even know why. We don't know. And that, you know, the reason why that is so intense when you have exact numbers with someone and when you love them and you hate them so much at the same time, and then it just bugs the heck out of you and you don't know why. And one person is too sensitive than the other, so they decide to bail out and run away into their own form of artificial or official paths of escape, you know, 50 ways to leave your lover, right? That they don't sit down and focus on what the problem is. And, you know, so many times if you want to get along with somebody and have a relationship of any kind, no matter who it's with, and make it work, it is absolutely essential that you try to center yourself, ground yourself with the other person, cut off all the escape routes, and even if it means being in total silence for 5 or 10 minutes, the air eventually can clear, and you can actually get along, and you can actually process the pain and overcome it and get back to the spirit, which is what oneness is all about. Being one with an individual is a way to overcome a chart. And it allows you to stop being petty, and it allows you to focus on the karma, understand it, and deal with it. You know, and of course, if you're dealing with two metaphysical creatures in this negotiation, hey, you got a bonus. You got a bonus. If you and the person you're dealing karma with listen to this show and hear this topic, then they'll say, well, let's try it the way Farley says it. Let's sit down and try to clear the air and hash this out in a mild, calm manner, instead of getting all freaked out with each other, negative and violent and hostile and arrogant and hateful. And, you know, a lot of things come out, a lot of words come out, a lot of pain. Like, so you might say, like, I don't know why I'm mad at you, or I don't know why I don't like you today. There's something about you that bothers me. I don't know what it is. You do something that aggravates me. Let's talk about this. You know, and if people keep running away and leaving and not spending the night or not spending the time to get into the karma, it'll never be fixed, and the bill will just be left unpaid, and the pain will be prolonged, and the energy that surrounds that karma will remain. But once you sit down and work it out, and some of us has to have a lot of work with each other, in order to work out these karmas within ourselves, and you finally find someone you have karma with that catalyzes this energy, wow, what an awesome opportunity you have to experience growth. You know, a lot of women out there are frightened to get involved with men, and vice versa, men too, that have a controversial vibration there. They're frightened. They don't want to be hurt again. They don't want to be put in that same position. But they, don't you understand? They are being given the exact same opportunity to finally break the cycle, to break the pattern, to sit down and discuss with an individual their feelings and who they are and what they are and where they're coming from and why they feel the way they do. Let's dig for it. Let's dig for it gently, and let's dig for it in a calm way. Maybe it'll be funny after a while. Maybe it'll be free, and you'll go from not wanting to be together, from wanting to break up, to maybe wanting to be romantic again and making love. And whereas somebody would have left in an anger that night and there would have been no connection, by sitting there and trying to be calm and casual with each other, the karma disperses and it evaporates, and finally there's love again. You know, and I'm not trying to tell you that this love and this karma process is perfect, because if you know you have a karma with someone, hey, you may need to do a lot of these sessions, because we may be talking about a lot of past lives, a lot of negativity, a lot of anger, a lot of hate, a lot of hostility, jealousy, vindictiveness, and one big bill. Did you ever get a bill for like $10,000 in the mail? Well, some of the karma that we fall in love with or get attached to is of monumental proportion, and it does take sometimes years to work through. But you're not going to tackle it unless you face up to it and assume responsibility for it and try to calm yourself to find out what's going on. And that's what it's all about. You know, and some of these transits that we go through, For example, a lot of you early cardinals, like myself, people born in the 40s and the 50s with Neptune in Libra, or with Uranus in Cancer, or both, you know, or Saturn in Libra, or any Libra, Cancer, Aries, or Capricorn planets. I mean, with Jupiter sitting in Cancer now, and with Mercury in Libra, and Venus in Libra, and Uranus and Saturn and Neptune in Capricorn, man, there are so many people right now that are going through these long karmic transits. I mean, give me a break. I've had Uranus opposed to my Uranus now for 2 years. If I didn't know about astrology and metaphysics, I probably would have pulled what little was left of my hair out of my head. But the point is that astrology is an interesting tool because it gives us the opportunity to pinpoint periods in our lives when we go through these karmic transformations, okay? And when we do go through them, like if you're going through a long Uranus opposition like I am, or a long Libra or Capricorn T-square like I am, or a long Capricorn conjunction square like I am, then you'll be aware that this is a karma hot period, that some of the situations involved and some of the people you meet and some of the opportunities you will face up will be growth situations for you to understand what your soul did, what the bill is, what the ticket is you owe, and it's time to pay it. You know, and I always give the options. You know, the options are clear. You either go forward with the person and make a commitment with them and make a commitment to work it out as you go, which obviously is a tough path, right? But a lot of people need to do that. And that's when you have a big bill, big debt to be paid. The other option would be to just, if you are strong enough to be friends, fine. You can try that path as an option and stop the intimacy if it's a love relationship and see if that works. Then the final alternative, which oftentimes becomes necessary when the bill is too great and when the karma is too thick, which means when the hate comes in one time too often and the violence and the hostility comes in one time too often, and that means that the situation requires a process. Just like processed cheese or processed food, it means it's got to be sent off and said goodbye and finished, sent down the assembly line and sent off into the light in peace. I'm sorry we couldn't make it. I'm sorry we couldn't be together. We can't be friends. We can't be lovers. So what we're going to have to do is just say goodbye. See you in the light. And I'm sorry if I hurt you, and I know you're sorry if you hurt me. God bless you, and I'm sorry it couldn't work. Adios. And you just remove the memory of what occurred out of your mind. Sometimes it means moving apartments or residence. Sometimes it means getting rid of pictures and memories that remind you of the individual. Sometimes it means going through laughter and crying and shaking and a detox of some kind. You go through an emotional detox when you say goodbye to something that you're that close to. Sometimes it means getting therapy. Sometimes it means being high on yourself, focusing on your self-esteem and self-love in order to nurture that which you know is important, because it's all you've got, your wealth of spirit. But when you make up your mind to be strong enough to say goodbye to something that you've been that obsessed with, or somebody you've been that obsessed with, then the growth will come. It might take time, but the growth will come. And when it does, you will be in such a blissful, happy state that you will, down deep, subtly, in your mind, thank yourself for facing up and confronting that karmic relationship that existed and finally embracing it, processing it, letting it go, and allowing you to be what you know you truly are. It's like a flower blooming. It's really beautiful. And you know what? I'm really excited about this week because Venus is going into Scorpio, and I love the Sag moon, so my chart's picking up some really nice trines. So I'm trying to create some energy here that's going to make everybody happy and excited. Frankly, this show is so neat. I'll tell you something. It's not my ego. I just know, because I've heard the people and I've been here for a while, that this show has actually done so much to open people's minds and to break up their days and to bring them some love and light into their hearts, because it's fun. You know, it really is fun, and the show is reserved for very special people that think along a different line of thinking, you know. And where can you find a radio show where the subject matter is so personal that you actually feel like you're part of a family when you tune in at 12 noon? Well, that's what the Astrology Hour is really all about. This is a beautiful family network, and it's very exciting for everyone involved.